Well, good morning, ladies. I don't have a handout today. It's very unusual because what's going to happen is you're going to do some work. I want you, if you have your Bible with you this morning, to turn to James. And what we're going to do is, if you're like me, you forget what you did this morning, let alone what you've done in these weeks since we started in James. So let's take a moment and thank God for the minds he has given us and to help us to recall the things that he wants to write on our hearts. Lord Jesus, how thankful we are for your word and for its power to transform us. Lord, as we think this morning of how mighty you are and how sweet it is that you are our friend, Lord, I pray that you would encourage us and strengthen us to, as James calls us, to persevere, Lord, and that you would develop in us that patience, that waiting on you. Lord, thank you for the work that you're doing in each of us, Lord. Not on the same track, not at the same pace, but Lord, in your good time. And may you be praised and glorified as we are each transformed. And we praise and thank you for all of this in Jesus' strong and mighty name. Amen. All right, ladies, it's a sweet thing to be a child of the King. Okay, and so what you have to keep reminding yourself of as you walk life's journey and as we are presented with this debate about faith and deeds in James is that immediately we compare. Okay, I know so-and-so, and they're so much better at this. People have said to me, it's like, oh, I wish I knew the Bible like you. It's like, well, it's a calling God has put on me. Not everybody has the same call. And so he's put a love for the word of God in me, but he can develop that same calling in you as well. And so as you persist, and ladies, I have persisted. This is year 27 of reading through the Bible every year. It has given me a beautiful vision of God's redemptive plan and has so overlaid Old and New Testament together, and especially because I tend to be an Old Testament girl, the New Testament is overlaid with this same vision. You know, I'm thinking of the trials and temptations from James, and to me, one of the parallels is the Old Testament Exodus, okay? And in a New Testament economy, we're coming and we're thinking, oh, well, I've trusted God, I have faith, I'll be delivered from trouble. When in fact, the opposite is true. And honestly, it's really what you want. You don't want a life devoid of trouble, even though you think you do. Because as James says here, trouble brings us at intersection with how God wants to transform us. If we had no trouble, we would go along like we were God, which seems to be a failing from way back in the garden. And so as we look at James and the power of a life transformed, I want to pick out a few things. So in James chapter 1, in verse 18, this is what he says, and this by way of review. Okay, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. Now, did you think of that today? That you were born through the word of truth? And as we think about faith and how faith is developed, in Romans it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Okay, and so if we're not hearing the word, it's not transforming us. Ladies, if there's one recommendation I would make in life, go to the word. Go to the word, go to the word, go to the word. It seems sometimes to be far away from our present circumstance, but it is not. The enemy's goal is to keep you away from the Word of God. Why is there so much external distraction? Honestly, I live on the street where I grew up, and I live in the house where I was born from. And the neighborhood hasn't changed a lot, but has changed some. And they put a crosswalk down at the corner, and these huge diamond-shaped things, and the lights are flashing when anybody is crossing the street. It's because over there, two blocks away, is a park. Well, if you go the other way, they have a crosswalk on that street as well. But I'm thinking, like, all this interruption in my peace, this big yellow, nasty orange sign, why do I have to look at this? Well, that's just life. It's another distraction. It's kind of silly, but what God is saying is there's always going to be something to draw your mind away. So how would you think you got that from a street sign? Okay, it's a parallel. And God uses simple imagery like he used in the Old Testament about how they came from an agricultural and a planting mindset, and he applies it to life because it's things that people understand. It's very simple. Like he instructs us to have a childlike faith, to believe like children believe, okay? And so he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, okay? So if we're getting born through the word of God, we need to be there. And the goal that he says in the end of verse 18 is that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Well, if that seems foreign to you, hey, I've been reading through the Bible 27 years. Every time I come to it, I'm refreshed and reminded of, I don't remember reading that last year, okay? And so these visions of an imagery of first fruits and the whole sense of seasons and sacrifice and God's calendar are to make us mindful of his presence in everything in life. He's in the first fruits. Well, the first fruits ended up, and I've just finished Leviticus, the Levites were the first fruits taken in place of the firstborn sons when they got released from Passover, because all the firstborn of the Egyptians were dead, but all the firstborn of Israel were preserved. And then they counted them off, and God cared to have a priesthood, Levites, that would direct the people in the way they should go. So it was important, okay? And so then it says a little further down in verse 25 of chapter 1, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Okay, think about this, that the law, boundaries, restrictions, rules, gives you freedom. It's like opposite world. And that's kind of how God works. The law restricts us, it guides us, it instructs us in the way we should go, but it's to give us freedom because God has placed us all on the same level playing field. So when we compare, we're really forgetting that God doesn't work in everyone the same way, although he works in everybody the same way. So like, there's like a paradox in all of the teaching of God that we have to tease out and that we have to understand. And then in verse 27, he says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: look after orphans and widows in their distress, so to look after the distressed, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. How does the world pollute us? It's like we're swimming in it and we don't even really realize it. It's like we're fish in water. Okay, and so for us to recognize it, God is saying you have to keep going back to what you were born into. Okay, he gave us birth through the word of truth. Okay, so then let's go over to chapter 2. Chapter 2 in verse 5, he says, listen, dear brothers and sisters, has God not chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith? Again, opposite world, the rich and poor. We would think in a human mindset that, and in the context of this, we're looking at favoritism, how we look at people and judge them by exterior, when good Old Testament, God doesn't look at the outward appearance like he says about Saul. God looks at the heart. Okay, so think about it that day when Israel rejected God in their king, as their king in Samuel. Okay, Samuel is heartbroken. He's there trying to, he's being trained as a priest, and he's brokenhearted that the people have rejected God. They don't understand God's patience with them because, honestly, he should have annihilated the whole nation that day. Okay? And think about God's patience with you and how cavalier we are when we set ourselves up as sitting on the throne. I have my nieces and nephews for dinner on Thursday. My youngest nephew, well, great nephew, because they're my nephew's children. He's 5, and he's very opinionated. And as I am myself, I bear with it. But I do steer them, and so they all drink raw milk. Well, he doesn't like the raw milk if it has the pieces of cream sometimes, if you shake it up, don't all shake away. So he says, well, it has cream on it. I said, well, the cream is the best part. He says, but I don't like those pieces. I said, well, you should have said, Aunt Cindy, how thankful I am for this milk. Could you give me some without the cream pieces on it? He goes like, I don't want that. You know? And so I said, it's like we need to be guided gently, because if we got what we deserved, we would not be alive. Okay? And so here's God saying in verse 13, speak and act as those who are going to be judged. I'm sorry, this is verse 12. Judged by the law that gives freedom. Here's that freedom again. Freedom was back in chapter 1, verse 25. So he's saying he wants us to live in freedom, but it's not freedom to do whatever we want or think whatever we want. We're guided by the word of truth. And so, and then in verse 13, he talks about mercy triumphing over judgment. How sweet is that? Because that's our God. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That's the day that they rejected God as king. He had mercy on them, that he allowed them to have a king. And good and bad kings, but still human kings, kings with frailties, not the perfect king. You know, and he says, look out, if you have a king, ladies, this is where the Internal Revenue Service came from. He's going to do taxes. The king is, this is what he says in scripture. The king's going to conscript your children. He's going to make you pay taxes. He's going to take what you want for yourself for him. Okay? And he's saying, I'm the king who was allowing you to give joyfully. And as I provided, you could give what was mine already back to me. But we get it turned around so easily. And that's the beauty of the stories from the Old Testament. So now, let's read chapter 2, our section from 14 2:26. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together. His faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. That's why, what a friend we have. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So we don't want dead faith. We want a living faith. We want faith that is active. Okay? And so chapter 1 in James is kind of an imagery of transformation through trial and testing. Chapter 2 is the tension between the transformed life and our faith to do it, not our works. Okay? And so this is kind of a debate that comes all through Scripture because, you know, like I said, we're always comparing. Like, if you didn't have siblings, oh my goodness. I had two brothers and two sisters, always comparing, always thinking, always trying to get ahead. The five-year-old again on Tuesday, a chocolate muffin all over the floor. I said, there's crumbs all over the floor. Are you going to pick those up? I didn't drop them there. I said, well, you know, you're only supposed to clean up the mess you make. I said, who takes care of the dishes when you leave here? Okay, and so that's our mindset. God wants us to be free to obey, okay, and he wants us to trust him. So, ladies, here's something you might want to write down. This is recipe for the blameless life. Do you know the first person who was called blameless? Noah. He was blameless in his generation. Then Abraham is called to walk before God and be blameless. Okay, and then the priests in Deuteronomy are called to be blameless. David states that he is blameless. We know he's not perfect. Job, and what's the other one? Proverbs have the most use of this word blameless in the Old Testament, and we want to think of it as maybe a sense of perfection, like he's calling us to be perfect, because in fact in the King James that's how they translate it a lot, walk before me and be perfect, but it's not perfection in a doing sense. It's perfection because we're clothed in Christ. We don't realize when God looks at us, he's not seeing us. And that's part of what gives you freedom, okay? When you are freed from understanding that God is not looking at you when you have trusted him, he's looking at what Christ has done for you. You are covered, you are transformed, you are blameless. Okay, you're not perfect until the Lord returns. But when God looks at you, that's what he sees. And so when you transform that's what God sees in you, you can throw away all that guilt that the enemy wants to bring on you because you're imperfect and because you have an issue or a trial and temptation that visits you over and over, okay? And so what you need to do is you get up in that. And so you get up and trust God to give you wisdom for what to do, okay? And so we become so easily wanting a list. So if I was going to say, how do I have faith with deeds? Here's the recipe. Okay? Heaping measure of the word of truth. And that's from James 1:18. Cultivate the word planted in you. That's 1:21. Listen to the word and do what it says. That's 1:22 and 23. Look intently into the perfect law. That's 1:25. 1:27, assist the distressed. And 1:27, keep yourself from being polluted by the world. You don't need me to give you a list. God has given you one, okay? And it's almost like as I was studying this, I looked over it. I wasn't looking at the context. That's the whole context of what he's teaching, is that we don't need to add anything, especially in our world, ladies. Just think about how blessed we are by online, digital, on your phone, however you get it, even just the old-fashioned way, all right? The Word of God, do you have multiples in your house? Are you consulting it and living like you believe it? And here's how it is. And this is what I would say when I taught the junior high. You wouldn't have to learn one more thing that God has revealed to you. You would have to just obey what you know. It's written on our hearts, ladies. It's written on our hearts. Okay? And so he keeps saying, we have to keep looking. It's, to me, a miracle here. In the same, he's saying, look intently into the perfect law. Okay? And keep yourself from being polluted by the world. Recycling won't do it. Okay? He's telling us that the world's system and the world's interpretation of the things we say and do is not our standard. Okay? And the world tries to overwrite that on us. And so we need to be careful about that. Ask God to show you where am I commingling this worldly pollution with what I need to be able to do the deeds. Because honestly, we do deeds and we want thanks. And God's saying, trust me, let me transform you to the work that I'm calling you to, and I'll give you more glory than you need. Okay? Ultimate glory. And think about it, ladies, in our minds, or maybe you're not as critical as I am, but I tend to be really evil in my thoughts. Like, yeah, I won't share examples, you know. But think about it. We're murdering image bearers, God's image bearers, with our tongues. And God allows us to live. So what we need is this godly, unpolluted vision to be able to understand why faith without deeds is dead. Okay, we're not doing works to be recognized. We're doing works out of the outflow of the love of God. My cup runneth over. You know, that's that vision. So when we're filled with faith through looking intently in the Word of God, this is what he does. Okay, so there's all kinds of beautiful imagery and freedom from slavery. Because think about Egypt. That's what Egypt was in the Old Testament. It was relief from slavery. So what's the New Testament parallel? Well, the New Testament parallel is when we trust in God. We're removed from the realm of control of sin, and we're moved into the world of controlled by the Spirit of God. Okay? And just look at the picture from Israel as they exited Egypt was how quickly they forgot because they intersected trial and temptation. Okay, trial and temptation will come to each of us. It never stops. And so, as Scripture promises, that we're never given more than we're able to bear. And so as we look intently, as we understand what God is doing in our own hearts and minds, we're encouraged because we're not left to do this in our strength. And that's why I gave that recipe thing, because immediately what we want to do is we want to convert God's faith and deeds homily here that James shares into a list of do's and don'ts. Okay? And he's saying to you, you have to ask me to transform you. You have to trust me to move you to even want to do these things. Without God's help, we don't want to help the poor in distress. We'd stay home in comfort, okay? And so it's like God is saying to you, trust me to move you to want to do that. And like he says, I don't know whether it was Cornelius, but it was one of the rulers in the parables in Mark. We just looked at it in Mark 9, and he says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Okay, and it's like we believe God's powerful because he says, if you can heal him, and Jesus says, if I can? Like, what are you talking about? Don't doubt me, I'm mighty, okay? And so he's saying, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's every one of us. We're all on that same place. We need help from the Lord to even know what to believe. And then when we believe it, we keep falling back to that, oh, it wasn't so bad, that old life. And oh, yes, it was. Okay? And so God is so good. He's so merciful. And so this is giving us freedom. It's not a burden in the strength of God. It's a burden in our own strength, but it's not a burden when we rely on God. And so as we trust him to give us wisdom about the weight of faith and deeds, he's going to give us wisdom also about what are the deeds I need to be doing? What deeds shouldn't I be doing? What am I doing for wrong motives? God examines the heart. So ask him, show me. It's a sweet thing to trust God, but it's fearful. It's like, yikes, I want to trust God, but I'm afraid. And so he's asking us to trust him in our unbelief, and he has restrained the consequences for our not trusting him fully. He's a dear, dear friend. Dear Lord Jesus, how thankful we are that this morning there is no friend like Jesus. And so as we think about our lives and how we want to be blameless before you, Lord, and living a life open to your spirit and your direction and your transformation, Lord, help us to understand that as we persevere, you give us patience, Lord. Help us to compare us to the standard you bear and not one another. Lord, thank you for this group of precious women that you've brought us to journey together. Lord, how we can sharpen one another and strengthen one another and encourage one another, that indeed we are not perfect, but we are trusting you on that journey, just like Abraham did that morning when Isaac asked him, where's the sacrifice? He says, the Lord will provide. And so, Lord, we're thankful that you are our provider. Bless and keep us in our troubles, Lord, and may you be exalted through all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.